How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
We think it's inevitable, and we're moments.
A moment away from the church accepting it.
Really? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you meet someone, and most of the time when people have resistance to this, and I say to them,
You think we're moments away.
I think culture is already there, and the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense.
I think Rob Bell is talking about the New Testament, maybe including the Old Testament as well. They're speaking with his wife and Oprah Winfrey. Rob Bell says the church is just moments away from accepting same-sex marriage, and until it does, it will remain irrelevant. Now, Rob Bell used to be one of the big emergent church leaders, a former megachurch pastor, and now he just writes books and talks to Oprah, which is, that's the makings of a career there. But he's back in the day, I remember, this is probably 10, 15 years ago when we first started talking about the emergent church. It was going to save American evangelicalism from itself. It was going to be the thing that responded to the shallowness of American evangelicalism. It was going to respond to the flippancy of American evangelicalism. And we were assured again and again and again that emergent church leaders like Rob Bell were not anything like old mainline liberals. And yet, it hasn't been that long, not even 20 years, and Rob Bell is essentially allowing the culture to dictate what the church ought to do, just like evangelicalism and mainline liberalism. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, February the 20th. We're going to hear not only from Rob Bell the full conversation or much of the conversation with Oprah Winfrey on same-sex marriage in the church. We'll also be introduced to a teaching by Andrew Stanley called Temple Model. I don't know what it is, but Chris Rosebrough, Fighting for the Faith, will join us and explain it to us a little bit later. In the last half hour of the program, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, we'll play 4 sound bites. You call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page and you vote for one of those sound bites. Your vote decides which one will be the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week and your chance to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And let's see, the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Chris Rosebrough is a regular guest. He joins us every week to talk about This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We've been talking about the emergent church for a long time here. I know you have as well. And I remember when it first started out, we were assured that it was going to be a response to American evangelicalism and definitely nothing like mainline liberal Protestantism. How do we get to the point where Rob Bell essentially sounds like every single other mainline liberal Protestant?
Well, he took a circuitous route, but he ended up in the exact same ditch. And the problem with guys like Rob Bell and the whole emergent church is they buy into a postmodern worldview that denies that truth is objective, denies that truth is knowable, and that it's binding on someone's conscience. And as a result of it, you buy into a worldview like that, and you don't have any moral compass. You do not have an anchor that holds you in one place. And Rob Bell has just basically succumbed to all of the current, the current of the culture, and ended up with the same conclusions that they have. That's how he's gotten there.
So what should we be listening for here as we hear from both Rob Bell, his wife, she chimes in a little bit, and Oprah Winfrey's eagerly lapping up everything they have to say. What should we be listening for? What are the presuppositions at work here among these three?
Well, as we listen to this, you know, they're going to be talking about, you know, what Rob Bell thinks regarding the church's acceptance of same-sex marriage is going to be. And then listen to what he does with the Bible and how he characterizes it. And that should tell you something about what he thinks as far as the Scripture's authority.
I think it's great that you all made a conscious choice to include gay marriage in here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why?
Because one of the oldest aches in the bones of humanity is loneliness. And it's one of the things that goes way, way back. Loneliness is not good for the world. And so whoever you are, gay or straight, it is totally normal, natural, and healthy to want somebody to go through life with. It's central to our humanity.
Yeah.
We want someone to go on the journey with.
When is the church going to get that?
We're close, I think.
I think it's evolving. I think it's...
Lots of people are already there. We think it's inevitable, and we're moments.
A moment away from the church accepting it.
Really? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you meet someone... And most of the time when people have resistance to this, and I say to them...
You think we're moments away.
I think culture is already there.
Okay.
And the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense.
Okay, let's talk about a couple of things here. One was Rob Bell's wife, her characterization of the church evolving. How does that play into Rob Bell's thinking?
Well, that would make perfect sense. If truth is not transcendent, truth is not knowable, truth is not something that is fixed, and neither are morals, then truth changes and truth evolves. And so that's part of the whole postmodern worldview. And so their expectation is that because truth evolves and truth changes, that the church needs to evolve and change as well when as people perceive and experience different ideas and things regarding truth.
Now, the other thing is this term of relevance. That is obviously a huge word, not just for Rob Bell, but for much of pop American Christianity. The irony is so thick you could stand on top of it if you wanted to, that they're both using the same term. What do they mean? What does the average kind of designer t-shirt pastor mean when he uses the word relevance?
Relevant means that it's something that is attractive to, or something that somebody who is a non-believer would be interested in. And so, and if the church continues in their way of thinking to do things and talk about things that the culture is not interested in, then that means the church is going to be irrelevant, and it, as a result of it, it will not grow. That's kind of their parlance.
So the term, they should say, to be more accurate, culturally relevant, right?
That's correct.
So when they say we're moments away or we're on the edge, who are they talking about?
I think the we there is that they really believe that the bulk or the heart or the mainstream of evangelicalism is moving towards and evolving towards and getting ready to openly accept same-sex marriage. That's really what they believe is about to happen. And so I think what they're looking at is kind of like the heart of like the seeker-driven megachurch movement and things like that. And I hate to say it, but I tend to agree with the Bells on this, that much of the visible heart of American evangelicalism isn't talking about same-sex marriage, and in many ways is trying to lay foundation for accepting same-sex marriage.
So Rob Bell's, at this point, you would lay money that he's right, that the church, at least kind of the broad swath of pop American evangelicalism, will in due time follow the culture's cue and accept same-sex marriage in one form or another.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen, and they're going to do exactly what the liberal mainline denominations did not too far down the road, you know. So that they're gonna do that. They're heading in that direction. Their leaders are already trying to start to move people in that direction in their thinking, and so I think it's a matter of time before much of the seeker-driven megachurch evangelicalism embrace the same-sex marriage.
Why will they do it? I mean, these are Bible-believing Christians, Chris.
Well, no, actually, they're not. They strip mine God's word for life transformational principles. They on the one hand they'll say they believe the Bible, but they don't ever preach it or teach it in context or in a way that actually makes sense. And the reality is, you don't need a crucified and risen Savior in order to apply these life tips and principles that they strip mine scripture for. And so, I mean, this is one of those things. As long as people are happy and experiencing life change, then they're not going to rock the boat, because to rock the boat risks potentially hitting their numbers and causing them not to grow at the pace that they believe is necessary for them to continue to grow.
The seeker-sensitive movement has told us for decades, look, we're just using the culture to reach the lost. What happens as the culture becomes more pagan?
Well, then the church has to become more pagan. And that the reality of the situation is that they're not actually just trying to reach the lost. What they're trying to do is grow their churches, and increase attendance. And the one thing that they have to do in order to do that is entertain pagans, basically tell them what they want to hear, and don't rock the boat. So they'll say they're doing these things to attract them, but the reality is that it's a form of bait and switch, but they never really do make the switch. It's not like once we've got them in, we're going to sit them down and we're going to preach law to them in order to make them, feel contrite for their sins and then preach the gospel to comfort them. They never get around to doing that. Instead, it's all about getting people to make commitments to apply these life principles so that they can make their lives better.
Okay, with about 30 seconds here before our break, if this is the case, have you already seen examples as you scan the landscape, the horizon of American evangelicalism, of pastors who are saying, let's rethink this whole marriage issue. Maybe the culture has a point.
Well, there are two large mega churches, one in Nashville and one in the Pacific Northwest, that recently publicly came out in favor of gay marriage. And Andy Stanley, who we'll get to after the break, I really believe he is setting things up at his church. And Andy Stanley is really high up in the ranks of the seeker-driven movement. I really think he's starting to set the table so that down the road, I fully expect he will eventually embrace a same-sex marriage. He is already not calling it a sin.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. About another 20 minutes with him this week in Pop American Christianity. As he indicated, we will turn to the teachings of Andrew Stanley right after the break, something Stanley's calling temple model. We'll be right back. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
What this movie is saying is that women like being hurt and like being used, and that you as a man are entitled to use women. I just can't think of a worse thing to be teaching our young men.
I believe that it is the absolute desire of God's heart. You ready for this? That Christians would have better sex than the people who don't know God.
If salvation is my personal relationship with Jesus, it makes our problem somehow having an emotional or personal distance from God. So it completely takes the idea of sin out of the question.
The fallen world sniffs out this alien smell of the resurrection on you and will seek to stamp it out. It recognizes it for the threat that it is. The principle of this world is death.
Just a taste of the sound bites that will be playing here in about 20 minutes on Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, we'll play those four sound bites and then you call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough. We're talking a little bit about, well, we talked before about Rob Bell. We're going to talk here about Andrew Stanley, something called Temple Model. Now, Chris will also be speaking at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference right here in Collinsville, Illinois, and that'll be June the 19th and the 20th this summer. Chris, tell us a little bit about your segment, which is going to be Making the Case Against Vision Casting Leaders in the Church. What is in store?
Well, we're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement. We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if the concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
Folks, you can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, as I said, coming up Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois. In addition to Chris Roseborough, Dr. Paul Meyer will be making the case for biblical archaeology and for the historicity of the New Testament. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of the Federalist will be making the case for the differences between men and women. Pastor Will Whedon will be making the case for a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers. Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting will be making the case for the church's response to postmodernism. And Dr. David Menton will be there also making the case against naturalism. Registration is $100 per person. That includes three meals. But attendance this year is limited to 400 people due to the size of our venue. So don't wait to register. IssuesETC.org. IssuesETC.org. You can also, for more information, just email Craig, craig@issuesetc.org, craig@issuesetc.org. He'll tell you what you need to know about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Chris, who is Andrew Stanley and what should we be listening for here?
Yeah, Andy Stanley is, I consider him to be a major general in the seeker-driven network. He's written the book called Visioneering, and his concepts regarding vision casting are the staple of the whole seeker-driven movement and the vision-casting leaders. And so he is well-known, well-liked, well-listened to in the seeker-driven movement. And he's recently been preaching a sermon series called Brand New, where he is literally going after the traditional church, the way church is traditionally done, and he's concocted this idea called the temple model. He claims that Christianity somehow was melded with this thing called the temple model, and that Jesus came to set us free from the temple model. We'll let him explain.
Your conscience, our consciences, have been shaped by a version of Christianity, a type of Christianity that is a combination of both what Jesus actually taught and what the temple model, as we've described in this series, has actually taught us as well. And all of us, our consciences have been fine-tuned to where we feel the way we do toward God, we feel the way we do toward sin, we feel the way that we do toward one another because of essentially what we've been taught. Whoever controls your conscience ultimately controls your behavior. So what we're trying to do in this series is to kind of tease out and to separate out the movement that Jesus began and what we refer to as the temple model. Now, when I say temple model, I'm not specifically talking about the Jewish temple, although it includes that. The temple model is essentially a template for religion that goes all the way back further than the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, certainly the Jews, the mud hut regions of the world today where you find witch doctors, and in other areas of the world where there is still this template in place. The temple model looks like this. There are always sacred places. There are always sacred texts, oracles, inscriptions, documents, you know, religious texts. Sacred men. It's always men, isn't it? Along with sincere followers, or in some cases you might say superstitious followers, or scared followers, or scarred followers. But there's always a group of people that are dependent upon the words and the teachings of a certain group of men to understand where they stand with God. That these men stand at the gates of heaven and hell and determine who goes where. And our consciences are fine-tuned to that teaching. It's why some of you have abandoned religion once and for all and have walked away from all religion. Because you're sort of onto it. You see through it. And consequently, you want to have nothing to do with it.
What is he saying there?
Well, literally, the hallmark of the temple model that he's discovered, this is his teaching, is that the temple model, this is bad, and it has sacred spaces, sacred texts, and sacred men who deliver these things. Those are three of the four pieces of it. And in his first sermon series on this, he went after this idea of churches that have sanctuaries and sacred spaces where people come to hear the word of God and to worship and stuff like that. And he says that's part and parcel of the temple model, and that's bad. And then you'll notice he said that it's sacred text. Well, what's interesting is he's come up with his own altered history to explain where the sacred texts come from. But also notice the swipe against sacred men. That would be pastors. So you think about this: if you go to a church where your church has a sanctuary, you consider that to be a sacred space. Well, that's a bad thing. And your church values God's word. Well, that's a sacred text. That's a bad thing. And if your church has male pastors, well, that's all part of the temple model too, and that's a bad thing. So this is literally what we're seeing coming out of Andy Stanley these past few weeks, is probably one of the most blatant attacks I've ever seen given by a seeker-driven vision casting leader against how the church has traditionally organized itself and done church, especially considering its doctrine as well as its ecclesiology. This is a fascinating argument. In the next segment, we're going to hear his, I consider this like a Da Vinci Code rewrite of church history to explain, you know, where the scriptures came from and where we got creeds from.
The problem was suddenly Christianity became inseparable from empire. And the church leaders created their own version of the temple model with a little bit of Christianity sprinkled in. Now there would be new sacred places. There would be a whole new group of sacred people that began to intentionally collect all the Christian texts, bind them together, chain them to the altar, and now they would determine what was taught, what wasn't taught, and how the text would be interpreted. This is no better understood than through perhaps something you heard about in school that's known as the Arian controversy. This was a theological controversy. The only reason I'm going to tell you about it is because of where it leads that we'll get to in just a minute. But the Arian controversy was over the word begotten. And a church leader from Alexandria named Arius actually believed that the Jesus' divinity was conferred on him as an adult, as some sort of a reward for his faithfulness to God. Most of the church leaders, especially Athanasius, who led the charge against Arius, believed that no, Jesus was born divine. So Constantine didn't want there to be a division in this new Christian, this new holy empire, and so he called a council meeting. In fact, he hosted the meeting, paid for it himself, which meant everybody was going to be kind and polite to the emperor. As a result of that, Athanasius was the first one to Constantine, and Constantine was no theologian, he was a king. And now, theological division was heresy that was punishable by death. Suddenly, believing the wrong thing was a crime. And suddenly, in Christianity, what you believed trumped how you behave. Christianity almost immediately became creedal. You're familiar with the Apostles' Creed, or maybe you memorized a different creed as a child. The Apostles' Creed is an extraordinary piece of theology that states so many things that are so important to theology and to Christendom. The problem with that creed, along with other creeds, is there is no mention of love. In fact, there's no mention of behavior at all. You could subscribe to that creed and basically do anything you wanted. And there was a reason the creeds were that way.
Okay, that's Pastor Andrew Stanley of North Point Community Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. We're talking with Chris Roseborough about his recent swipes. These are pretty violent swipes at basically all of church history, but it does illustrate to me here, listening to his rewriting of history, why it's important that pastors actually have an education before they get up and start talking, because he's I don't know where he's getting this stuff.
This is very much akin to the Da Vinci Code. You remember when the Da Vinci Code book came out, it was hailed as some kind of historically accurate account of what was going on. It was just nonsense. This is very Da Vinci Code-esque on the part of Andy Stanley. And you're right, these are brazen attacks against the church, against her creeds and her confessions. And he's literally basically saying that the reason why the church believes in the doctrine of the Trinity is because Athanasius got to Constantine first, and that somehow the way he sees church history is that Christianity existed without the Bible, without creeds, long before Constantine came along. But Constantine is the one who's responsible for now making it so the church has creeds and a Bible and dogmas, and now their people are considered heretics if they don't believe particular things. But in his mind, at least the fiction that he's putting out, he envisions a Christianity in the first three centuries that had no creeds, no doctrines, and only people just loved each other, and it didn't matter what you believed.
I'm wondering here, what is his substitute for the Bible? Is it the visions of Andy Stanley?
I don't know. That's the part I haven't been able to figure out, because he thinks kind of the center of Scripture, if you can even talk about it in that sense, is from the book of Galatians, where Paul says the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. But the point is that he's a man in a sacred space interpreting a sacred text for people while saying all of that's a bad thing to do. And so, I mean, he's as inconsistent as they get out, but he's using this opportunity to basically, you know, launch a nuclear attack against the way the church has been organized from the beginning.
With about a minute here, Chris, given Stanley's considerable influence, especially with the vision-casting pastor crowd, do you expect his ideas, as conspiratorially based as they are, to get some traction?
Absolutely. In fact, he's set up an entire website, dedicated to help get these sermons out into the mainstream of evangelicalism and into the hands of seeker-driven vision-casting leaders. So he's doing something with this series that he doesn't normally do with other sermon series. He's specifically trying to market it in a way to draw more attention to it. So, yeah, I get the feeling that this is something that could easily get traction, you know, in many of the seeker-driven churches.
Is he, in essence, with about 20 seconds, saying, don't trust the Bible, don't trust your pastor, don't go looking for God where you find those two things, just listen to me, Andy Stanley?
Well, that'd be a crass way of putting it, and I don't think he would see it that way, but that really is what he's doing.
Before we let you go, what's on tap tonight for this today's Fighting for the Faith?
I'm currently in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I recorded a panel discussion with myself, Tully and Chavigian, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, and Daniel Price on the need to preach the gospel to Christians. And so we'll be playing that panel discussion from Tully and Chavigian's Liberate conference.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith a half hour from now, right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc., at piratechristianradio.com. That's all one word, piratechristianradio.com. Listen for Fighting for the Faith 1/2 hour from now, right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, and your votes for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You need to get ready to listen and then get ready to vote. Our call-in number live this Friday afternoon, February the 20th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email with your vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can vote via Twitter at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote there as well. We've left space for you to do so, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll play the four sound bites for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week for you right after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.